allergies or something first part of last week. Feel a lot better. Appreciate everybody's prayers. We're in Genesis 29. We're going to begin looking at Jacob's family. We've looked at Abraham's and Isaac's. Now we're looking at Jacob's family. It's his turn. And remember, Jacob is in the line, as was Abraham and Isaac. Started with Abraham, then went to Isaac, and now Jacob, in the line of the family that will become Israel, and the line of the family that, when our Lord is, his earthly birth comes, well, he will be in that family also, in the same bloodline, through his mother side of the family. And I often wonder if that's the correlation here between some of this, because remember, now it was a little different with Isaac. Isaac, his wife, Rebecca, came from Abraham's side of the family. But remember, Abraham and Sarah were kin. They were, was it half brother and half sister, I think? But Isaac sent Jacob back to Rebecca's side of the family for a wife. We also know that Rebecca's side of the family was also Abraham's side of the family, which would be Isaac's side of the family also, but it specifically tells us that Jacob went back to his mother's side of the family, to her brother, to her brother's family, Laban. We've seen Laban before. Remember, Laban was there when Abraham's servant went to fetch Rebecca for the wife of Isaac. Her brother Laban was mentioned in that story. Now Laban has a family of his own. He's got at least two daughters that we know of. Leah and Rachel. Leah being the oldest. And Jacob, in a similar way that Abraham's servant went back to Haran to find a wife for Isaac, Jacob goes to Haran. We read that the last time in the last chapter. We read about Jacob's journey back to Haran. He's now, we're going to look at him arriving in the land this morning in chapter 29. He journeyed, it appears, by himself. He doesn't have a caravan with him. He's by himself. Remember, we talked about his dream that he had there at Bethel. And all the false doctrines that revolve around that dream. You know, it's amazing. You take these stories in the Old Testament and people, they try to match it up with other things, other people, other places, and it doesn't match up. We have to be careful about those things. That's why we compare God's Scripture with Scripture, not with man's words. The Scripture bears out the truth many times. There's times where it's still a mystery to us until the Lord reveals it to us, of course. But Jacob's dream, as we looked at, was not what we commonly hear about. Now, on to the story of Jacob and his marriages. He winds up marrying both sisters, not by his choice, but by the choice of her father. He gets hoodwinked into it. And remember his story, though. This is kind of payback to what he got, to what he did to his brother and to his father. Remember Esau and Isaac. He tricked them into giving him the birthright and the blessing from Isaac. He cheated his brother Esau out of everything that was owed to him, as far as the oldest son. But we also know that that was God's plan. It was God's plan for Jacob to have those things. And we'll see this morning, all this is in God's plan too, because it tells us that it is. So in verse 1, Genesis 29, verse 1, then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. And he took, and he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying about it. For out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. Now it's my understanding that in that part of the world, oftentimes, especially in a shallow well, what we would call a shallow well, where the water is close to the top, they would have put a stone over the top of it to protect it from the elements, whether it was from the sandstorms or if they were in a fertile place where there were trees that kept the debris from the trees out of the well, whatever the case may be. They covered the well with a stone, and they wouldn't open it until a certain time of the day. And so all the flocks of the in that area around that well would all come together at the same time of day, meet there, and they wouldn't open the well until everybody was there and ready. So they only had to open it one time. That was the purpose of that. And thither were all the flocks gathered. And they rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in his place. And Jacob said unto them, my brethren, whence be ye? And they said, of Haran are we. So he's arrived. He wasn't sure yet, but he knew he was getting close. So now he's found these shepherds with their flocks who are from the land where he's going, from his mother's family's land. And he said unto them, know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him. They know Laban's a well-known man. And he said unto them, is he well? And they said, he is well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep. So what do we see? He comes upon these shepherds. They've watered their flocks. They put the rock back over the well, the lid back over it. And then here comes Rachel with Laban's, her father's sheep. Similar to what we saw with Rebecca. Remember, she came with her father's sheep to the well in her day. So we see Rachel being in the same way. So we know Rachel is not a lazy person. She's active in the family business, the farm. She's a shepherd working with the sheep. And he said, lo, it is yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep, and go and feed them. And they said, we cannot until all the flocks be gathered together, and until they roll the stone from the well's mouth, then we water the sheep. So he was trying to, not knowing the custom, I guess, it appears as though they didn't water the cattle at the same time as they watered the sheep, which kind of makes sense, because then you'd have mass chaos if you've ever seen farm animals. When you get different types of animals coming to water at the same time, they often don't get along together. And so there would have been mass chaos. So to prevent that, they would water the sheep first, and then the cattle would come and they'd water the cattle. So she's there, Rachel's there, they're ready to water the sheep. And he says, and while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled a stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Now, we think, well, this was chivalry here, wasn't it? He, being the gentleman he's been raised to be, the girl comes up with her sheep and he's going to help her. Right after these other men have told him not to do it. You notice that? These other men say, wait till everybody's here and then we'll water. Well, she comes up and just because of her, he takes the lid off the well to let her water her sheep and begins to help her. And it appears as though he knows who she is, so maybe these men have told him. I don't know. I assume so. They've told him who she was. Notice it says when Jacob saw Rachel. So he saw her. Later on, we'll see in a few verses where she was a very beautiful woman. So he sees her outward beauty. He sees that like Abraham's servant saw in Rebekah, he saw sees that she's not afraid to work. In their day and time, that was in the customs of their day and time, when you looked for a wife, you wanted one that was willing to work. Well, he's found her. She's very beautiful. She works. And notice also, he notices that the sheep are Laban's. So she's not only beautiful and a hard worker, her family's got money. The three attractions that would cause a man in that day and time to seek a wife. So it's not just because she's Rachel. Notice it's also because he knows, he sees that she's a hard worker and she's got money. Remember, Isaac and his family with Esau and Jacob back in Canaan, there had been a famine at one time, and they had lost a lot of the wealth that Abraham had gathered because of that. They had regained some of it. Not doesn't appear that they had regained all of it yet, but at some point they would regain most of it. But he knows what it is, what it's like to live on hard times. He's been out on his own, traveling by himself, going as far as he did. Remember we talked about when Abraham's servant went to Haran to get Rebekah. It was a 17-day journey on camel. Jacob, it appears he may have been walking. We don't know for sure, but it appears he may have been walking. And even if he wasn't, if he was riding a donkey or a camel or whatever, it's still a 17-day journey. That hasn't changed. The camels didn't get faster as time went by. Wasn't like automobiles. And so he's traveled a long ways, and now he thinks he's found the woman of his dreams. In verse 11, and Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. Now we think, okay, he's been a little bit forward here now, but we're going to see in a moment where he does the same thing to Laban. So this is just a custom, okay? This is not a kiss of passion. This is a kiss more of a greeting, like we would do with a handshake. But he lifted up his voice and wept. Why? Because he's found what he's looking for. His parents have sent him here to find a wife, and he thinks, all right, I found her. And he lifts up his voice and weeps and cries. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. And Notice he says he was her father's brother. Now, don't get confused here. This just means that he was part of the family. He goes on to tell that he was Rebekah's son. So they're for first cousins. And it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. So here we have two men kissing here. This is, this is a greeting, okay? So just because he kissed Rachel a few verses back, that was not what we would commonly think of today. This was just a simple greeting. It may have meant more to him because it was Rachel, but it was more of a custom. In their day, if he had done this out of passion towards her, she'd have probably slapped him. Because that would have been the custom of the day too. She being modest would not have allowed a man, especially a man that she had just met, to kiss her passionately. So don't read more into this than what's there. And Laban said to him, "Surely thou art my bone and my flesh." And he abode with him the space of a month. So, before anything happens, before any proposals talked about, Jacob lives with Laban for a month. What's he doing during that month? Well, it appears as though he's helping work the farm. He's helping with the sheep, doing whatever else. And Laban said unto Jacob, "Because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be?" So Jacob's not asked for any money. I'm sure he's getting room and board. You know, that would have, with him being family, that would have been a custom. Well, that's a custom we have today. If a relative comes to visit, even though they may help around the place and feed the animals and work the crop, whatever, we're going to at least give them food and board, room and board, aren't we? That's a custom we still have. So that's what he would have been given at that point in time. But Laban begins to feel guilty about it. He's like, "Well, you know, just because you're family, I should be paying you something. What do you want for all this work?" And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Now, just like we saw with Esau and Jacob, the custom in their day was the oldest married first. That was a custom they had. Today, we don't necessarily have that custom. It works out that way most of the time, but not necessarily. In their day and time, you know, especially with the daughter, if the eldest daughter didn't marry before the younger daughter, it was kind of a shame on her and a disgrace. People thought, well, there's something wrong with her. And it was sort of that way with the oldest son, but not so much. The oldest son was more favored than an oldest daughter would be. Leah was tender-eyed. Now here we see the difference between the two daughters. Tender-eyed, she was a caring person. She had a good heart about her. She cared for people. We don't see much about what she did up until this point. As far as, you know, we know Rachel was out tending the sheep. We don't know what Leah was doing. Maybe she was helping her mother keep house. That might have, it may have been, when they say tender-eyed, that just means that she was a caring person. She was a soft, gentle person. But Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. So Rachel had the looks, and she was more favored than Leah, because, not just by Jacob, but by the family also, because in their day and time, their hope was that at least one of the daughters was going to bring home a wealthy husband, or at least a good husband, one that would take care of her, one who was going to give them plenty of sons and grandsons, and one who was going to be a help with the whatever family business was. That's what their hope was with Rachel. But at the same time, Leah, according to custom, had to marry first. And Jacob loved Rachel. Now here's where the problem starts. He, according to Laban, he loves the wrong one. And said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. So he skips over Leah and goes straight to Rachel. So far, it appears as though it's because of her beauty and because of her being a hard worker. I don't know. Both of them may have been hard workers. We don't know that much about Leah yet. But he loves Rachel. So much so that he's willing to work for 7 years. How many of us would do that today? You know, how many, especially young people, would work for 7 years for their wife or for their husband, for their wife? People are, we don't have that much, well, the attention span of people today, it wouldn't work. And that's what happens. You know, people are not willing to wait today. And part of that, we see that in the churches. Men and women, you know, young men and women are not willing to wait for a godly spouse. They're not willing to work for the Lord for 7 years and wait for that one. Jacob was willing to wait for the one that he loved. And not just to wait for her, but he's going to have to work for her brother. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And so Laban understands kind of the tradition that we've been seeing with Abraham's family, is that it's better, Laban understands it's better that he give his daughter to a relative, to wife, than it is to a stranger, to keep things in the family. And certainly, I believe that's one of the teachings with the Lord's church is, you know, we should, if we're single, if those who are single, those who are of marrying age, should be looking in the Lord's church for a spouse. That's one of the, I believe, one of the applications that we see here is we should keep it in the family of God. And not just in the family, but in the Lord's churches. And there's so many out there that give up. They say, well, there's not one in the church I attend. Well, if there's not, either wait until the Lord sends somebody or look in one of the churches that you fellowship with. You know, Brother Doug's got a grandson that's done that. You know, that's a blessing to see people like that are willing to wait and are willing to look among the Lord's people, and especially the Lord's churches, for a spouse. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. So Jacob had to live with Laban and work for him for 7 years. And they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. Remember how it was when you were engaged to be married? And whether it was just a few months or a few years, whatever it was, they just flew by, it seemed like. At the time, it seemed like it was dragging on. But when it was over with, you're like, man, that went by fast. Think of our time waiting for our Lord to come. And it's, relatively speaking, it's going by very fast. You know, our life here on earth is relatively short compared to the whole span of things. You know, we live very rare that anyone in our day and time lives to 100. That seems like a long time, but really, you figure over 2,000 years, 100 years is nothing. It's a small percentage. And then we see Jacob get married. Verse 21, "And Jacob said unto Laban, Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her." So Jacob's like, okay, the engagement's over. You know, it's time. I've worked 7 years. Let's get married. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Here's a picture of the marriage feast right here. They have a feast. They have a celebration. Laban is marrying off one of his daughters to Jacob, to a family member. It's a joyous time. And it came to pass, but it's about to change. And it came to pass in the evening. So once the feast is over, and it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And I've always wondered, and I'm sure y'all have too, how did he not know? Well, we know one of the customs in their day and time, the bride would have been veiled until they went to the bridal chamber. But even at that, did these girls look so much alike with a veil over their face that he could not have told? You would think Jacob, living there amongst them for 7 years, surely he could tell the difference in their physical build. But you think, I don't know, at this point in time, you know, we know the bride and the groom would have dressed fancy for the wedding. They would have dressed their very best, their special clothes, whatever their wedding clothes would have been. So very possibly it hid her shape and he couldn't recognize it. But what about, you know, her hands or her hair? Or, you know, were these two girls that close in resemblance? Possibly. We know, it tells us Rachel, that Rachel was a beautiful woman. It doesn't say anything about Leah being beautiful, does it? But some speculate that maybe during this feast that there was enough wine passed around that Jacob was a little lightheaded more than he should have been. That's possible too. I don't know. For whatever reason, well, we know it was the Lord's reason, for one. We'll see that in a moment. But Jacob doesn't recognize that it's Leah for whatever reason. He's in the, appears that Jacob is in the bridal chamber and waiting for his wife, and Laban brings his daughter to him, and they consummate the marriage before he realizes he's got the wrong girl. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for a handmaid, another custom in their day. Someone in the family, usually the father or the mother, would give the daughter a handmaid, someone to help her with things around the house. So Laban gives Leah his handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. So it's the next morning before he realizes who she is. And he said to Laban, "What is this thou hast done to me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me?" Jacob has been snookered, hadn't he? That's what we'd call it. He's been lied to. He's been cheated in a very serious matter. Again, remember what Jacob did to Esau, though. A very similar situation. When when Esau was at his weakest point in life, when he was starving to death, Jacob offered him lentil soup to eat in exchange for his birthright. Here, kind of sort of Jacob's at a weak point in his life. He's all in love. His mind's not in the right place, probably. He's not thinking straight because he's in love with Rachel. And it's his wedding night, and he wakes up the next morning, and it's the wrong one. Laban has taken advantage of the situation and passed off his oldest daughter because he wanted his oldest daughter to marry first. That's the only reason that Laban has, that we see anyway, is that he wanted Leah to marry first. And Jacob, you know, by all rights, and the law of the day, he could have caused Laban some pretty bad hardship over this, but he doesn't. He's willing to wait another 7 years. And Laban said, "It must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn." So Laban tells him the law of the land is that the firstborn is going to marry first. Well, why wait till now? Well, because he knew that his love was so strong for Rachel that he wouldn't marry Leah. Verse 27, "Fulfill her a week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. So this fulfill her week, as I understand it, is you have a week of honeymoon, 7 days. He's telling him, stay with her, with Leah, fulfill this week, and then we'll talk about you serving for me 7 more years for Rachel. What a deal, huh? Now he's going to have 2 wives. But at least he'll have 1 mother-in-law, right? Not, so, not like in other cases where some of them had, like Solomon, who knows how many mother-in-laws he had. So, but he's going to have 2 wives now, which is, even at this time, God didn't look favorably on. You know, God's intention for man was to have 1 wife at a time and not multiple, but this is what's going to happen. And Jacob did so, fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. So now, not only are both daughters married, Laban's only got 1 son-in-law to worry about. And a faithful son-in-law at that. If he's willing to stay and marry both of them and live with both of them, you know, that shows his dedication to his family. And so Laban, even though he's connived him into doing it, Laban knows he's got a good son-in-law now. And Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her handmaid. And we wonder why does he list these 2 handmaids here? Well, that's in the next chapter. We'll get to that next week. They come back. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. So he loves Rachel more than Leah. That's not a good situation, is it? And that's one of the reasons I believe that the Lord intended for a man to only have 1 wife at a time, is because that's a good reason right there. You're going to favor one over the other. It's just human nature. And it's not going to turn out good for one or both in the end. And so he works for Laban another 7 years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So although Rachel was Jacob's favorite, his first choice in a wife, and because of his hatred for Leah, and you think, well, he kind of sort of had a right to hate her, didn't he? Because he wasn't supposed to marry her to start with. But that's no reason to hate her. She is his wife, after all. But he, because of his hatred for Leah, the Lord causes Leah to have children first. Sons. Four of them, actually. Right off the bat. I mean, just shortly after they're married, they begin having sons. And she has four of them. And Rachel's barren. His favorite wife is barren. And we'll see, as we go through these names of these sons, the first four, and then next time we'll see the other eight, these sons will be the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. We are beginning to finally see what the Lord's promise has been all along for Abraham's family, for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We begin with Jacob seeing the 12 tribes, the beginnings of the 12 tribes. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, the first tribe of Israel. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. Her hope is because even though he has hated her up until now, because she has bore him a son first, that will change his mind and he'll love her. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. Now, notice she's the one naming the sons, not Jacob. That's kind of a rare thing in their day also. Normally, the father is the one that would name the sons. Not always, but most of the time. Or the mother and father together would name the sons. The daughters were commonly named by the wives, by the mothers. But the sons, of course, would be the father's pride and joy. That was his lineage. They were going to carry on the family name. And so he would be responsible for naming them. In this case, because of Jacob's hatred for Leah, but notice he doesn't hate her so much that he won't have children with her. So there is some compassion from him towards her, or he wouldn't be willing to do that, would he? And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi, the tribe of Levi, the tribe that the Levites would come from, the priest. The third time, she's still holding out hope that her husband will love her, will fall in love with her. He hasn't yet, or at least that's what she thinks. And she conceived again, a fourth time, and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah, and left bearing. In other words, she stopped. This is her last son to bear. Is Judah. She's still holding out hope that because she has born four sons with her husband, that he will love her. And yet, as we'll see next time, Jacob, though he loves Rachel more, he becomes frustrated. If you look in the first the second verse there, you see in verse 30, or chapter 30, verse 2, and Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. He's angry with her, thinks it's her fault that he's not had children with her. Doesn't understand that it's He doesn't understand that it's the doings of the Lord. We oftentimes wonder why, you know, I've had relatives who couldn't have children. And we often wonder, why is that? Why do some people, and sometimes medically, the medical field can find a problem. Sometimes it can be fixed. Sometimes it can't. And even with that, it's the Lord's doings. If the Lord wants us to have children, He'll let us have children. If we don't, He won't. There's something else He would rather us spend our time doing than having children, than spending time with children. That's just how it is sometimes. But the hatred that Jacob shows to Leah is it's really kind of odd, if we think in our day. We think that's kind of odd that he hated her as he did. And really, it wasn't Leah's fault. It was her father's fault, Laban. Laban's the one that sent her into Jacob on the wedding night instead of Rachel. Of course, she had to go along with it. You know, you notice she wasn't forced into it. But just remembering these things that God has His will in all things. As we see next in the next chapter, Rachel will be, God will open her womb and let her have children. There's children from the two handmaidens also, though. But they're all part of the 12 tribes of Israel. So we'll get more into that next time, and we'll stop there for this.